Hello and welcome to Matchsticks and Microphones. This is for the week of Tuesday, March 15th, 2011. I'm host Justin Azevedo on Twitter at AzevedoJ. Who is with you tonight?
Hey, I'm Eric. I am on Matchsticks and Gasoline. I'm also on Twitter as MG_ARIK.
I'm Walk Invisible from hitthepost.ca, also on Twitter at hitthepost.
And it's Mike. I'm also from Hit the Post.
Cool. So let's get right into it, shall we?
The Smoke.
So into the Smoke and three games for the Flames last week. First game against Dallas, shootout win 4-3 after giving up a 3-goal lead. They were able to pull that out in the second round of the shootout with a Glenn Crosspot in the winner. At Phoenix, night after, with a pretty short time span between the two games, a 3-0 loss, one of them being an empty netter. And Vancouver on Saturday, tough 4-3 loss. Luongo probably stealing that game from the Flames, but anybody got anything to say about that?
I blame Steos.
You fucking put that.
What about the one where he fell backwards over his skates?
Was that
the Dallas game?
No, that was the Phoenix game.
Really?
Both games.
Wow, Steos, that guy fucking sucks.
Steos can't stay on his feet.
This is getting way too close to the wire for me to feel comfortable with the Flames in the postseason. I mean, getting shut out by Phoenix, that's bad. Is there anything more that really needs to be said? Giving points to Dallas, even if we win, we gave them a point. That's also bad.
Losing to Vancouver, I don't know. It's just always painful. It's not necessarily bad, I guess.
They took two potential points away from us, right? So
I think Michael Backlund's been playing amazing, and I'm pretty stoked about that. Wins, losses, to me, we're a ninth place team.
Mike catch on something this Friday. All three of you are going to be ganging up on me, I guarantee it. But Mike was saying this Friday too, is that this team is going to probably, how bad would it be if we got to the final game of the season against Vancouver and we're like 1 point out of the spot and we lost that game? Like, I don't know if I would recover like for the next 6 months.
No, you know what'd be even worse is if we won the game and still didn't make the playoffs because somebody else won.
Yeah,
because
we've lost control. Like, we're rapidly losing control of our destiny, right? So
the only way we have control of our destiny is if we win out.
I don't know. You're putting Kotalik on reentry waivers. We've lost control of our destiny. It's gone.
And Fancy Pants Lance is in there playing, right? Like, we're down
to...
I'm good with Lance.
Like, he's a stopgap, but I'm fine with him.
But we're down to development, right? Like, we're saying, Okay, our season is over. We're just working out the young guys, bringing them up for cups of coffee.
Or it could just be the injuries. That there's also that possibility that the fact that Moss is probably done for the season now, and Modine is old as fuck, which we knew when we traded for him, thanks Feaster, so his back's hurt, and whoever the hell else, Glenn Cross, you know, having his kid, and Jokinen and being kind of iffy with the flu.
I suspect.
Yeah, dumb Glenn Cross knocking up his wife.
I know.
And
what is he doing? Like, come on.
Like, couldn't they have planned that so it was in the offseason?
No, seriously, though. Congrats to Glenn Cross. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent thing. Like, he misses a game. Like, it's all right, so.
Yeah, I guess we can just move right into the bonfire then. I guess that was quick.
The bonfire.
Bonfire time, and this week we decided to talk about a couple subjects. The first one being, if the Flames make the playoffs, realistic expectations for the team, you know. Thinking they get past the first round, or who would they be playing, what kind of games they would be able to win, steal, blah, blah, blah. And if they don't make the playoffs, our expectations for the offseason and, you know, what we'd like to see in management and player development and personnel changeover and stuff like that. So I think that Eric definitely has a idea of where he wants the team to go after the offseason. I'm pretty sure he's leaning towards the we're not making the playoffs part of it. So, Eric, do you got anything to say?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I'd like to address is, you know, if we do make the playoffs, I mean, we're going to sneak in at, what, 8, maybe? You know, maybe 7, but realistically talking, if the Flames make the playoffs, which I really don't expect to happen at this point with Moss out and, you know, Morrison out, but if they do, it's going to be in the 8th seed. And you know who they get to play when they're in the 8th seed? Van freaking Coover. I'm sorry, like, I will sit down and watch the series, but wow, that is not something I'm looking forward to. That's going to be ugly in so many ways.
I disagree, actually. I think we'd be better off seeing Vancouver than San Jose. I think we've got no shot against San Jose.
Or Detroit. I mean, I would much rather see Vancouver than Detroit. And I know we have that 1-4-0 record against Vancouver this year, but three of the games that we've lost have been one-goal games.
And we know that the goaltending is like... I mean, Kiprusoff can win games, and Luongo can lose games.
Yeah.
So I think that would be the best matchup for Calgary, in my opinion. But
and their defense is still suffering, right? So, you know, there are chinks in Vancouver's armor that we could take advantage of. Now, I still don't think we're going to make it.
I don't either. I think it's a long shot.
No, not a chance.
I was looking at the standings, and if you factor in the games in hand, we're really sitting around 10th.
Yeah, I mean, JJJ66 does the points per game or, you know, whatever standings after every game. And last game it was 9th, so by now it is probably 10th. And, I mean, I am the I'm the dissenter amongst you three, and that I think the Flames will eventually make the playoffs, mostly just because I want to go to a playoff game, and I, you know.
Well, there is always 2012.
Well, that's probably not going to happen. 2012, maybe 2014 or 2015, depending on the way the team's structured right now.
Well, depending on the Mayan calendar, there is no more games after 2012.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, the world is ending, right? So
my birthday.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's.
I'm gonna have a big party. You guys can come if you want.
Excellent. Yeah, Eric, you got. There's no reason for you to save your money after that. So you might as well just come up here and get shit faced with us.
I can do that.
For me, the realistic expectations for the playoffs for the Flames is that, you know, they make it in, and depending on who they're playing, what position they're in, I'm thinking an eighth finish is probably where they're going to be, and that means Vancouver, and I'd love to see a 6-7-game series. Just tough it out, and maybe have one player run Luongo in the last game and then try and take him out for the rest of the playoffs, but that's just me being a dickhead home fan. The Flames are always been, or they always have been a difficult team to play against, and that's partly because of Sutter. You know, he always wanted these tough, gritty guys that can do this, this, and this, and, you know, it wears down the Flames over the season, but it also wears down other teams in the playoffs, and there's not really any other teams in the Western Conference that play a style similar to the Flames, and that, you know, they make their opponents work as hard as they do, and for years.
And how effective has that been since 2004, though?
Obviously, has not been effective whatsoever.
And how effective is that going to be with Kotalik, Modine, Carson, and Steos in the lineup? It's not going to work.
No, but
in fact, if you do the math, I was actually looking at the math today, and I'm wondering if we're going to be able to ice a full team for the rest of the year. It's tight.
It's difficult.
It's tight. If you bring Kotalik back up, and you've got Modine now on the roster, plus your ice, you've got you're carrying Carson and Mikkelsen. Man, it's tight. If we have any more injuries, replacement players, I think we have like $384,000 left. A replacement player to bring up sits around $7,000 a game. So you bring a couple like good guys up, that's like league minimum player. Sorry, not a game, $7,000 a day. So you're starting to get kind of tight. I mean, any more injuries and we're
back to having 15 guys on the bench like we did there a couple years ago. It's garbage.
Well, and I mean, a couple of years ago, we had players that we could call up that were actually, you know, NHL caliber, quote unquote, players.
Yeah, but we couldn't afford to put them in there because of salary cap.
Exactly,
we're in that spot again.
So then, but this year it's even worse because we don't have that space on the salary cap, and then plus there aren't any players that are NHL caliber for us to call up past Boma, who's already been called up.
Well, Kotalik, right? I think Kotalik is really going to throw a wrench in the system.
Yeah.
I honestly think that his salary getting put back on the books as of, I believe, tomorrow. We're
12. Yeah, 12 Eastern if he clears waivers, which he will, because
nobody's picking him up.
Well, and plus nobody would be able to play him just due to the waiver rules or whatever, or past the trade deadline. But like you have,
well,
sorry, go ahead, Eric.
I was saying the one thing I mentioned this I think somewhere in a Masters and Gasoline today. But if I were the GM of the Canucks, you know what I would do? I would claim Kotalik and put him back down in the ECHL.
That would be such
just to be a dick.
That would be such a great dick move. They should totally do that.
Plus, you can bank on Kotalik going to Europe next year, I think. I don't think Kotalik's playing in the A next year.
No, I mean, you see the comments that he's had in the newspaper since he's been sent down. And I know Playfair said, you know, always handled the demotion like professional, whatever. But this just doesn't seem that way. Like, he seems like he's not happy being there, which, of course, he's not happy.
Have you been reading Commodore's Twitter? Like, the guy is not happy to be in the NHL. But he's, you know, he's sucking it up like a big boy.
Well, and I mean, the compensation they're getting is probably a little bit it's probably helping them cope a little bit with having to play in the AHL because the Commodore is making 3.5, Kotalik making 3.
But at the same time, he's like buying stuff for his teammates. He's like going out. He's putting like iPads. Actually, I don't remember if it was Commodore. I think it was Wade Redden that was putting.
Yeah, that was Commodore.
Was it Commodore? iPads on the board. You know, hey, if we win this game, player of the game or whatever. That's cool. And like, so he's paying it forward or whatever. But I mean, he's not happy. He doesn't want to be there.
Of course not. Especially because he is an NHL quality player.
Well,
no, I mean, I'm not saying he's a good player, but I'm saying he's a fifth or sixth defenseman. I mean,
better than Steos.
I wouldn't say he's certain. Yeah, better than Steos. And I'll say he's probably no worse than Sarish.
So, I mean, yeah, Kotalik's not a good NHL player, but he's definitely better than a replacement level player at this point that we have with Fancy Pants Alliance. Like, as much as I dislike the way Kotalik plays and his shit, I would still probably rather have him on the roster than Boma.
Disagree completely. I think Boma is only going up from here. I think he's got way more hustle. He's got way more spark. He's got way more energy. He's got way more interest. Kotalik stands around. I mean, yeah, Kotelik's got better hands. Kotelik's probably more likely to score if he's near the net. But I'd rather have Boehm on my team. Not playing a top six, but for a stopgap.
Yeah, no, I agree with Walking Visible here, but just because of the, especially long term. You know, what do you gain long term from, you know, having Kotelik up there just standing around and not doing anything? Nothing. You have Boehm back in the minors, you know, playing a first line role, which he's not going to play in the NHL. Like, I like Boehm. He's one of my favorite Flames prospects, but he's never going to be a top six player. He projects as a bottom six, like a Brandon Prust.
I was just going to say Brandon Prust, but Brandon Prust is killing it right now. Like, yeah, he's not a top six player, but he is the same vein. And
And I feel like the best way to develop a player like that is actually by developing them in the NHL itself.
I agree.
You know, a top six player you have to take your time with. You need to give them some seasoning in the AHL or let them learn how to skate at a pro level, etc. But for a plugger, somebody like that, if you start them off with limited ice time, you can go ahead and start them off in the NHL.
That's kind of the point with Boehm too, right? Like, I mean, sure, he's got long-term prospects, but even in the short term, he's a great plugger. He might make the odd rookie error, but he's not like a Kotelik who's a defensive liability.
To be honest, he doesn't make a lot of rookie errors. You don't notice him negatively very often. You notice him on the back check, I think. You notice him on the forecheck, and otherwise just kind of there. Yeah, you don't notice him negatively, I don't think, at all.
Not yet. I mean, I just think that's the risk you have with him, is he's just young, right? But he's out there working way harder than Kotelik ever did.
Let me preface what I'm about to say with, I would still rather have Kotelik in the AHL, but, I mean, this just shows our differing of opinions in terms of where we think the Flames are going to finish. I mean, I think as much as the development potential for Boehm is there to have him play, I think you have to ice the best team possible to be able to, or to at least go for the playoffs. And that development potential is also going to lend to fuck-ups that maybe Kotelik doesn't have. I mean, yes, I understand that Kotelik is lazy and all this shit, but Boehm is still a kid, and he doesn't have that veteran savvy, quote-unquote, that a guy like Kotelik might have, and he might do something wrong here, wrong there, that Kotelik wouldn't even think of doing. Like I said, I would much rather have Kotelik in the AHL and, you know, have, like, Moss playing or whatever, but that's a situation we're in right now, and you just gotta make do with what you have, I guess.
Do you know what actually bothers me? It actually bothers me that John Rowe does not have an NHL contract.
It bothers me that he didn't fucking make clear day. That's what bothers me.
You know, I don't understand.
That just confuses me.
Yeah,
I don't understand this clear day thing, though, because Armstrong and Rio is still playing down there. What does clear day mean?
It means they can't play on the AHL after that unless there's an emergency exception, like somebody being injured, as in Chris Chucko.
Oh, good. So they already had an emergency exception before clear day, so that didn't cost them anything to clear Chucko and cut Armstrong? Because Armstrong is totally playing.
Yeah, no, it's basically because Chucko is injured, they're allowed to have somebody on the roster who didn't get put on the clear day list.
Oh, okay.
And there's somebody else who's injured too, I can't remember, and that's why John Rowe is still playing.
Okay.
Yeah. And basically what we're left with now is our best players in Abbotsford are Naimish and Keith.
And Brody. Brody, don't forget Brody.
I mean, well, forward cops. I mean, we're okay on defense right now, I guess.
Okay being a relative term.
We still have Steos.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
And Mickelson.
Carson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a 28-year-old defenseman or journeyman AHLer. Oh boy, I'm really excited about Matt Keith, the leading point scorer for the Heat.
He also does not have an NHL contract. Is that correct? I believe that to be correct.
I'm pretty sure you're right, yeah.
But they can sign him to an emergency tryout contract if necessary.
The entire thing's just kind of fucked up right now.
It seems to me like the best forwards on the farm this year, Nemus notwithstanding, the best players on the farm, the best forwards on the farm, don't have NHL deals with the Calgary Flames, which shocks. Like, John Rowe and Matt Keith are not viable, according to the Calgary Flames organization's NHLers, whereas they're basically leading the team down in Abbey.
So if the Flames don't make the playoffs, I mean, you guys think that they won't. I think that they will. And, you know, what happens in this offseason? Like, what goes on with Feaster? What goes on with the upper management? What do we do with prospects and personnel? But, you know, I think, WI, you had something to say over there.
I think we're in big trouble. I think, obviously, we're handcuffed by a lot of the contracts that don't go away. And the ones that do are actually, you know, some of the guys that are performing better. Glenn Crosses and the Tangays. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be especially difficult with Feaster being... You know, like Eric always says, he's not a hockey guy. He's a contract guy. So, I mean, hopefully his advisors, I don't even know who this is. Michel Goulet seems to come up a lot. But hopefully he's getting good information from the right people. Kind of a scary thought going into the offseason where we stand right now. Not a lot in the prospect cupboard and not a lot coming in on draft day. I don't know. I kind of think we'll see either Brody and or Erickson next year. Party will be gone, I think. I think he'll find somewhere else to play, and I'm guessing that Mickelson and Carson will also be gone. Steos, with any luck, will be gone, and we'll have some gaps to fill. So
I think Erickson's probably going to need to half a season in the AHL before you can jump up, just because the game in Europe is excelling over there, but the game in Europe is quite a bit different than the game here. The AHL, you know, give them that 40 or whatever games and get them acclimated to the North American game, then call them up. I think that's much more likely than just him just being thrust right into it. And like I said on one of the posts on M&G, it's kind of dangerous having two rookies at the exact same time. And as much as we make fun of leadership and shit like that, there is value to having some guy who has been around the block.
But Erickson's, I mean, I don't know how old, he's 21, right?
I think so.
So he's like, he's a mature rookie. Brody also is in that range. So they're not like, they're not kids. They're not, well, I mean, they're kids, but they're not like 18 coming straight out of the WHL. And Erickson especially has played pro for a couple of years now. And yeah.
Yeah, he's playing against full grown men.
Yeah. I agree. It is Sweden. It's a different it's a different caliber of hockey, but it's you know, and it's the bigger ice. But I mean, it's not
the
coming
speed
from
the game is the same.
I would say I would suggest faster, perhaps.
Yeah, that I mean, I guess it's 20 feet. That extra 20 feet that you have on an Olympic ice surface, well, the width of it definitely lends a lot to the play. I mean, for most people, they're like, oh, you know, whatever. It's just a little bit wider. But when you actually get out there and you're,
well, especially on defense,
exactly,
right?
Yeah,
like
exactly. So he's got sound skater, yeah, you know, to be a good defenseman in the Swedish league. So yeah, I don't know if he'll slip right in. Maybe you're right. I think that there would probably be some benefit to him playing a few games, or you know, half a season or a season in the A. But
do you think he often falls backwards over his skates?
I don't.
Probably not, and that gives him more value than
Steos. Do you think we could call him now?
Do you think we could call him something other than Erickson? Because sometimes it reminds me of Anders, and I don't like that.
That's a good point. I am Anders. I play defense for Calgary Flames. I give puck away. Oh no, Anders fucked up. Sorry.
I don't even want to talk about Anders Erickson. I want to move way past that.
Let's move on.
I think the Flames are gonna do the really high management. They're gonna do a real hardcore GM search. I think they can't justify keeping Feaster around when he was basically hired by either Daryl Sutter or Ken King with Daryl Sutter's approval, and saying, you know, oh well, they still missed the playoffs and nothing you did actually affected the team. I think they'll have to do a real search, and they'll probably consider him, but I really like, they do a real search. I want to see basically a new organization. I want the scouting department. I mean, it is, guy who said our scouting department is bad.
I think it just needs a change. I think Todd Button's been at the helm for way too long for a guy that's really never drafted any viable NHLers.
And was given the job by his brother back in 03, 02, one of the two.
And I think that Håkan Lube is actually, and I'm not just saying it as a joke, I think he actually has the skill. I think that he has the record. I think that he could be a viable candidate for a GM position. I don't know if he would be interested, but I don't know. I think that they would be remiss to not look at him.
2 or 3 weeks ago, we looked at his track record with Farzad's. They've won the championship a couple times. They always finish quite well. They've made the playoffs every year except for one under his leadership. So he's obviously doing something right. Anyways, I think that's it for the bonfire tonight. So let's move right into the kindling.
The kindling.
So Colorado on Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time. That's in Calgary. At Anaheim on Sunday, 6 o'clock Mountain Time. At Los Angeles on Monday, 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time. So anybody got anything to say about those quickly? I mean, it's pretty obvious that those are three pretty big games. Colorado being a weak sister, I would hope that the Flames would be able to pull out a win there. The game against Anaheim, pretty critical in terms of standings positioning. And, you know, Anaheim being right there with a game or two in hand and not being that far off in terms of points. And then Los Angeles, also another team that's probably surpassed the Flames by now and, you know, cemented their playoff spot, but still important for the team to go out there and get at least a point out of that.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, these are all important games. I think, and obviously, Colorado is, like, relatively speaking, a weak sister, but especially in goal, that's their biggest issue is, wow, Brian Elliott is bad.
Since, I think it was January 28th, 113-4 with a 3.88 goals against average was the stat that Myrtle tweeted yesterday. So, yeah, Brian Elliott, not exactly a good goaltender.
Yeah, and like I remember watching him back when he was at UW-Madison. He actually played there with Rennie. But he's, I don't know what happened. He was never really a good goaltender, but he was solid. You know, he had good fundamentals. Yeah, he wasn't exceptional, but he was a decent goaltender. And I don't know if it was just the Ottawa and then Ottawa trading him away or what, but man, he is just not pretty these days. It wouldn't surprise me if we lost to the Avalanche on like, you know, some terrible, like, on like a goal fest or something like that. It really wouldn't. I mean, we talk about, you know, Mika can, you know, still steal games, and he can, but he doesn't always. You know, he's not a dominant goaltender these days. He's good most of the time, but I mean, it's hard to deny. There's not games where it's just like, it's clear he's not really there, or he's just not playing the top level. So, but I would expect to beat the Avalanche. I don't expect to beat Anaheim. It's just, yeah.
I personally really like the Ryan Lambert factoid that came out this week that Teemu Selanne was a kindergarten teacher prior to his NHL career. And I think, obviously, every game is a must-win.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we'll have a better idea. I think the games, I think, even out, maybe, if I'm not mistaken, towards the end of the week. And we'll have a better idea of where we actually stand, as opposed to being, you know, a game or two ahead.
I guess that we move on to shoutouts. So, Eric, you have anything this week?
I just want to say, if you haven't looked in the masthead, you probably should, because you'll notice that I am now a co-manager of Matchsticks and Gasoline, along with Haley, who is not here because of homework tonight. Also, I've changed the tiles around, and they're a little bit more interesting these days. But yeah, mostly I'm just going to be around. I'm going to be doing that for just administrative purposes. I'll be running the sections and a couple other things like that. Haley's still pretty much the content manager. It's exciting to be, I guess, a little bit more full-time at Matchsticks and Gasoline. It's a, you know, good opportunity for me, and I'd really like to, you know, I'm trying to drive as much, bring as much content to the site as I can, and hopefully we'll see it grow a lot more. We've already brought in a new writer who will start helping with post-game recaps next week, Craig Fisher. And he's actually a local Calgary guy, like U3, and he's actually one of the five writers on the site. I think he's one of two that are actually in Calgary right now. But yeah, that was a little bit long, but that basically covers my whatever flame out MTV shout out thing.
Congratulations to Eric for taking on manager status. And I look forward to the upcoming stuff over at Hit the Post. Mike spent some money the other day on the internet on some random Flames merch.
I'm excited too. I know what this merch is. I'm not going to say what it is, but it's
I can't wait to take that thing out for a run.
That's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That's actually a better story than I have. This week is going to be a really tough one for me. I'm going to be busy a lot, and we'll see how many of the games I actually catch. It's going to be interesting to see next week whether we're talking about off-season as being a serious, you know, prospect development situation, GM hiring situation, or whether we're going to be still possibly in the run.
I guess so. On to me. I mean, positivity has kind of been parodied, I guess, by myself the past week or so, but I actually do mean that. You know, be positive. Might as well be irrational because there's only 10 games left. I did start a Tumblr site for, like, my blogging purposes, just so I can have somewhere to write. It is called shittyhockeyandbooze.tumblr.com.
Is that shinny or shitty?
Shitty. S-H-I-T-T-Y-H-O-C-K-E-Y and booze. Tumblr.com. So I guess that's it for this week. Eric's on Twitter at MGEric, matchsticksandgasoline.com, WIN Mike at HitThePost, hitthepost.ca, and HitThePost on Twitter. I'm at AzvidoJ on Twitter, and if you want to talk to us, matchsticksandmicrophones@gmail.com. We will talk to you guys next week.